some reason it has decided to go. In your Bible, please, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. When we come to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll remember that the writer is now setting forth an illustration. It concerns the principle of faith. Prior to those who are set forth in the 11th chapter as illustrations of faith, we have seen the person and work of Jesus Christ set forth. For you see, the faith that he is calling for must rest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Sovereign Son, sin bearer, seated. Believe, trust in him alone. In this 11th chapter, we are first introduced to the definition of faith at first verse. Now, faith is the substance. It is, in fact, the very foundation, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is assurance. Faith is conviction. Faith is a solid rest upon that which has no tangible basis except God himself. We must rest in him. The elders before, the writer of Hebrews tells us, had a good testimony that they did have faith in God. And then he reminds those whom he is writing to that you have placed faith in God, in that what you now see and believe to be this world is in fact that which God brought into being by his spoken word. That's the opening verses of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is inseparable from God speaking. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word, and Paul tells us, the word concerning the Messiah, the Christ. Here's the illustration. The principle of faith. You must believe God. What has God declared? That the issue of sin has been cared for in the sacrifice of his son. These were Jews. Their whole life, their tradition, had been looking to God through the Levitical system, through a system of sacrifices, through a high priest going in their behalf. All of that now has changed because that which was passing has given way to the permanent. Your faith rests in Jesus, who is the high priest. Your faith rests in the sacrifice that he made, giving himself for sin. He sets forth, the writer of Hebrews, individuals as putting faith on display, demonstrating faith. He's already made reference to the elders and to those whom he's writing to. And then he focuses on Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Abel, Enoch, Noah, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Abel, Enoch, Noah, they hearkened to what God declared. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's what verse 6 says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What has God revealed? God has revealed his character, who he is. How? Perfectly in his Son, Jesus Christ. God has revealed his conduct, what he has done, is doing, and going to continue to do. How? In the work, the conduct of Christ, what he did for us. And so faith rests in God's revelation of himself, who he is, and what he has done. Perfectly wrapped up in the sovereign Son, our sin bearer, who is seated in the heavenlies. And then he moves to Abraham. There are others that will follow. We're not going to take time over the next few weeks to look in detail of each one that is mentioned. For I remind you that the purpose of this illustration is to set forth the principle of faith, not really the particular practice of faith. Although, we have looked at the faith of Abel, a faith that worships. He came by way of what God said was the only way to come through the blood. He, in fact, worshiped in spirit and truth. So also should we. We saw Enoch walking with God. We are to have a faith that walks with him, relying and trusting him every day, moment by moment. He was taken, moved from here to there, simply because he was a man who was walking in faith. Noah, build an ark. What's an ark? I'm going to bring destruction. And for 120 years, he faithfully did God's bidding. A faith that works. He was obedient. We sang, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Abraham, he looked for a city whose architect and maker was God. Faith is always looking forward to that which is yet to be experienced in its totality. He sojourned after stepping out. He began by faith. He continued by faith. A great example, illustration of what it means to have a faith waiting on God's fulfillment of his promise. He looked for a city whose architect and maker were God. But he didn't stand still. He stepped out and sojourned, trusting God. And as he did that this morning, we see the aspect of faith tested. He had a faith that was waiting on the fulfillment of God's promise, and as he waited, his faith was weighed in the balance. And he came through approved, tested of God, to the glory of God, his faith having been refined through the testing. Redounds to the praise and honor of God. And so let's look for just a few moments together. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested or tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Significant. Of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. All of the promise, all of the promises that God made to Abraham would culminate in and through the son that God would uniquely give to him, Isaac. So everything rested upon Isaac as far as God's promise to Abraham. The test will come concerning the gift that God had given in the only begotten, the one brought forth by God, the son Isaac. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You remember that Abraham and Sarah were strengthened in their faith. Back there at verse 11 it says, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God said, you're going to have a child. We know that she was impatient. You know what's really nice about this whole 11th chapter of Hebrews? Everyone there had flaws in their faith. But they're never mentioned in the 11th chapter. See, the writer of Hebrews is setting forth the principle of faith. Within faith, there are failures. There are flaws. Faith is never perfect. The only thing perfect is God, in whom our faith rests. But isn't it nice to read about these who are people of faith, where Sarah, we know, in fact, said, I think maybe the best way to handle this whole situation is to bring in my handmaid and have a son by her, because it's obvious I'm too old to bear a son. It wouldn't work that way, would it? No. But we don't have Abraham. He was, and I don't want to really go there, but he did listen to his wife. Sometimes that isn't good. But here he did, and he got into trouble several times. None of that is recorded. Why? Because the issue here is faith, not failure, not frailty of faith. It's the exercise of faith. In the one who is faithful, in the one who has promised, whom we can trust. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Verse 12 says, therefore sprang there even of one, of whom as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and the sand which is upon the sea, innumerable, the seashore, innumerable. God gave a son to Sarah and to Abram in a way in which it was as though from the dead God brought forth life. Well, that's the way he always does it. He was tested. Come on over to Genesis chapter 22 for a moment. Here's where we have the account of the testing of Abraham's faith recorded for us. Genesis chapter 22. It begins, now it came about after these things. What things? Well, the birth of Isaac, the sending out into the wilderness of Hagar and Ishmael, that's the handmaid, and the son born to the handmaid. After the issue of his wife and the well with Abimelech. You remember that? Oh, she's my sister. Yeah, a half-truth. She was a half-sister, but she was his wife. And she went into the harem of Abimelech. What happened? God protected her, and God brought forth blessing in spite of the failure there of Abraham. See, it's one of the things that's happened. Then there was a well. He was a well driller, digger. And there was a well that some of the men had taken from him, those soldiers of Abimelech, and Abraham wanted this issue resolved. Then the issue was resolved. After these things, Isaac being born, Hagar and Ishmael being sent out, after the issues of struggle with Abimelech, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. God spoke to him. God spoke to him about offering up his only son. Now we know there was another son, but Ishmael is not the son of promise. Just come on back for just a moment to the 17th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. Look at verse 15. Then God said to Abraham. Now you remember that when we first get introduced to this man Abraham, his name is Abram. Exalted father. That's what the name means. But now he is addressed as Abraham. The name meaning, as we will see, exalted father of many, of the multitude. Because God is going to bless in abundance the seed of Abraham. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, oh, I thought it was Sarah. First, Sarai, just as we had Abram, exalted father, now Abraham, exalted father of many, Sarai, contentious. You no longer shall call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. You ever heard the expression Jewish princess? That's what Sarah means. Princess. She's a princess. Very special. Yeah, she's had her problems and it's a bit contentious. You know what the ancient, I believe Chinese, if not Asian, symbol for warfare is? A pagoda. With two women under one roof of that pagoda. Very wise. She was contentious. She first said, yep, go ahead, have a child by Hagar. That's the way it works. As soon as that happened, what happened? Yeah, contention. Real problems in the whole house. So finally, she says, get rid of her. And get rid of that son. She's a princess now. I will bless her. And indeed, I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. I'm grateful for this blessing, but you know, obviously, this doesn't sound like it's going to work. How about Ishmael? But God said, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my promise, my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Oh, that's good. What about Ishmael? Oh. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. God speaks to Abraham. He promises blessing through his seed, Isaac. Ishmael will be blessed. There's a guy you might have heard of called Muhammad. He personally himself claimed to be a descendant of Ishmael, the Arab nations, from whence came Islam. But God has a plan and program that he is working out. It is in the absolute perfect plan of God that we have descendants of Ishmael. We have the descendants of Isaac. And there's no peace. And there won't be any peace until the Prince of Peace, the seed that would be promised to bless all peoples, would come. He came. He's going to return. And then there will be peace among all peoples, even the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac, for faith must rest in the Messiah of God, Jesus. Well, come on back to chapter 22. So Abraham, verse 3, rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. God is speaking to him. He's going to test him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to this young to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Notice, we will return. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took his hand, in his hand, the fire and knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. God is speaking to him. God is speaking to him directly. There is a test. Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. God directly had spoken to Abraham as to what he was to do, with whom, where. The scriptures identify this one speaking as the angel of the Lord. The way in which God is speaking is in a way that Abraham unmistakably knows what he has been told to do is God speaking. Identified as the angel of the Lord. Called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not stretch your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. He's the son of promise. Everything is vested there in Isaac. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Notice, then, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time. God had given directive to Abraham. Take your son, your only son, the son of promise. Go to a place I'm going to tell you. Offer him up there. Abraham is obedient. In the very act of doing God's bidding, believing that somehow, because he said, we will go, we will return to those who were with him. Believing that this son whom he was given as though from the dead, God somehow would give him back if he were to offer him up. For he had received him that way to begin with. The angel of the Lord speaks to Abraham and confirms that God is pleased with his obedience of faith. The angel of the Lord speaks to him a second time. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. So this angel of the Lord, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation, Almighty God, is one God. Here, seen speaking through the angel, but is himself speaking. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. Abraham lived at Beersheba. In your seed, the one that I promised, all nations will be blessed. And we know, Paul writes in Galatians, that the seed is the anointed one, the Christ. It will be through Jesus, who comes by way of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who comes through the promise of God. The Word, the Word became flesh. The eternal God, the God who spoke to Abraham, the God who spoke to Abraham through this angel of the Lord. It's none other than the Word pre-incarnate. That's Jesus. How do I know that? In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, and without Him wasn't anything created that was created. It's the Word. He is the Word who became flesh. But here, He is the pre-incarnate Word speaking through this angelic voice. It's the Son, who is God. Hebrews chapter 1. In many ways, in here a little and there a little, partially, but progressively, God spake in time past. But in these last days, He has spoken to us. How? In His Son. Perfectly. Fully. Completely. How do you know you hear the voice of God to obey Him? How are we to be a people of faith? I can tell you how some people feel. They hear voices. Some masculine, some feminine. Some claim to have seen visions. Some believe that God speaks through certain anointed preachers. How do you know when God is speaking? The way He has always spoken. God speaks through the revelation that He has given of Himself. What He has revealed is true about His character, who He is. God speaks through the revelation He has given of the way He behaves in keeping with His character, His conduct. And how has God spoken so that we can unmistakably know it is His voice when we are called upon, when our faith is tested, when we are called upon to trust Him? It is when we hear the voice that is consistent with the character and conduct revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He would never call us to do anything outside of the character and conduct that we are in Christ Jesus. Some have, in one sense, in a simplistic way, but it does get a hold of the essence of how we know we hear the voice of God. There was a little band that was worn for some time by many of the professional golfers, and from there others. When Payne Stewart met an untimely death, the little band was, "What would Jesus do?" See, what we know to be true of our Savior is now true of us in Him. We know we hear the voice of God when what we are called to do is in keeping with the character and conduct of our Lord. Anything contrary to that, anything that is not in keeping with who He is and what He has done, is not of God. We must always check our emotions. We must always check our volitional aspect of being, our wills. We must always check it in accordance with what God has revealed to be true. I have an objective standard by which I know God is speaking. And the more I'm in His Word, having the Word of God revealed to me, the person of Christ, the more then, in reliance, I make the decisions and do the things which I am to do, and don't do the things which I am not to do. That's obedience. That's exercise of faith. So everything, whether it be a preacher, a voice, a vision, is it in keeping with what God has revealed concerning the character of Christ, the conduct of Christ? For some, it can get a little scary in that we hear that word, God is love. And He is. But He is a God of truth. And we must understand always that love must be, in fact, tempered by truth. So that it isn't just an emotional response. It is a response, when our faith is tested, of knowing that God is loving. So what I do is because of Him. The care and concern that I have is because of Him. My conduct is because of Him. Our faith is tried and tested. Come on over to James chapter 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into many kinds of trials, tests. See, tests with regard to our faith. And the word test here simply means a trial. It's a general use of the word to be put to the test. When many kinds of tests come, what should be our response? Well, we can get testing. That means we can resist it. Or we can accept it, tolerate it. No. Neither one is the right response. What's the right response? What has God revealed? Count it all joy. How do I know to do that? Oh, you see, God's revealed that in the character and conduct of His Son. When He was tested in all ways, He considered that an opportunity to bring God the glory, and He rejoiced in that. Oh, He went through the pain, He went through the suffering. But despising the shame, He allowed Himself to go to the cross. Knowing that the will of God was what was best. Count it all joy when you fall into many kinds of tests. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Now here's a little different word. The trying, the tests that come. The word here now moves from pyrazo to dokomazo, which is this. A test that God has provided, and He's provided it with the desire of your passing the test. You ever take a test the teacher says, you know, I'm giving you this test and believing that you're going to do well. And the only way he can do that is to have thoroughly prepared you to the very best of his ability. So it's not to try to trick you. And there are a lot of people who give tests to trick you. We've all experienced that. Or some teachers like to look good, and they want you to look bad, makes them look good. God never does that. God's never trying to trick us. God is never trying to make us look bad that he might look good. God's trials and tests are set up in such a way for us to succeed. That's the whole purpose of it. Not for our failure, but for our triumph, that he might be glorified. Now, the other side of things, which James refers to, look at verse 12 of chapter 1 of James. Blessed is the man that endureth tests, there's our word pyrazo, for when he is tried, dokamazo, he shall receive a crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Hey, when the test comes, rejoice in it, because this test, which is now designed for you to come through it approved, is for the glory of God. Let no man say when he is tested, I am tested of God, for God cannot be tested with evil, neither testeth he any man. You see, God isn't trying to test us for us to fail. There's no evil in God's test. You remember when Jesus was tested in the wilderness? Who brought that test? In the will of God, it was God, but it was an evil solicitation. So God doesn't do that. The devil did that. But sometimes we are tested. And the test is a test that comes from within. Not the Holy Spirit, but our own flesh. Or it may come from without, the world that is enticing us to do its bidding. They're evil tests. They're not designed for our approval. They're designed to destroy us. My flesh wants to destroy me. That's what I am in a natural man. That's how dumb I am. That's how evil I am. You too. This world, it's not in any way designed to benefit us or to please God. The evil one's in charge. So those trials and tests are not of God. We have to meet them, though. And we can meet them. How? In the power of God, through the Word of God. That's faith. That's trusting Him. You see, when that test comes to exercise the flesh, the Word of God reveals to me that that's not something that is pleasing to Him. How do I? The Bible tells me that. And Jesus perfectly demonstrated that. The Word. He did it. But every man is tested when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But you see, God's not testing us that way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to say this. It is not by our faithfulness, or it is not even by our acts of faith, that we are afforded and assured a place in heaven in the blessings of God. It's because of God's mercy and grace and our faith in Christ that assures us that we're going to be there and enjoy all He has for us. But who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's our expectation, knowing that that's an assurity, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness, sorrowfulness, through manifold tests, that the testing, the trial, the test that's there to approve you, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tested, tried with the purpose of approval with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Abraham, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Go to where I'm telling you to go. I'll show you. Offer him up there. And he did. It's a test. He knew God was speaking. It was the voice of God through the angel of the Lord. It was the pre-incarnate Christ. That's how we know when God is speaking. There are many kinds of tests that come along. What's my response to those tests? Joy. At times there are tests that the evil one in my flesh, in this world, bring on. Oh, I can face those. There is no test given that is not common to men, whereby God has provided the way of escape. Where God, right in that context, you know what the way of escape was? Flee. Get out of there. But know this, that the trying of your faith, which is precious to God, is for this purpose. To show you approved. To bring forth that which is pleasing to God. A character and conduct in keeping with what he has made of us in Christ Jesus. And so, whatever you're going through today, hearing the voice of God, we are called to exercise faith, trusting, and through it, to allow him to bring you through refined to his praise and glory. I don't know what rewards are waiting. That's not the incentive. I know that I am called and you are called to be a people of faith, to his eternal praise. Thank you, Lord, for these moments. Thank you for Abraham, referred to in the scriptures as the father of faith. And as we have seen, a faith weighed, tested, tried, approved. And thank you, Lord, that by your grace, through the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit, through your inspired, inerrant, progressively now fulfilled word, in the person of our wonderful Savior, we can rest in him, a people of faith. Now, and until our faith is fully realized in sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you.